This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Great to be along with you with our producer, Drew Young. I'm Tom Ackerman. Great to be back in studio. Nice sunny day in downtown St. Louis. It's March. It's time to talk basketball, baseball in game mode as they play spring training games. We have one today at noon, 12:10 first pitch against the Marlins. We also have a lot going on with hockey. Folks, the Blues are back. The Blues are back in the race. They're a point out of the playoff race in the Western Conference as you wake up this morning, and they have a game today at 5. We're going to talk to Joey Vitale, who I got to spend some time with this week. He will talk hockey with us at 10:45. Hello, the St. Louis Billikens are back. They are in the picture. They are Josh Schertz at this time was already creating buzz. He got left out of the NCAA tournament. He's going to try to force himself in here with the Billikens this time. Indiana State got wrongly let out of the tournament. They were boxed out as they did not win Arch Madness. They were not an at-large. It was a bad way, I thought, even though they went to the NIT final and lost, but kind of a sour taste in their mouth. Well, he comes out and blitzes Loyola last night, yesterday afternoon, 98-67. We're going to talk to him at 10:30 about his team. Mizzou's fine. They lost at Vanderbilt, but a good team. I have no worries about them whatsoever. A little concerned about Illinois, although they bounced back and smoked Iowa. I'd like to see what they can do at Michigan today. What a great win that would be for their confidence and their seeding going into the Big Ten tournament. SIUE, congratulations to them. Very nice win over Arkansas Little Rock, getting themselves a double bye in the OVC tournament. And they will have, I think, a pretty tough team to beat. They could make the tournament. You know, you could have Mizzou and Illinois in the tournament and then hope that SLU can get in, but Southeast Missouri State or SIUE could have a shot at getting in at the OVC. And then, of course, the Valley's always wide open. The Missouri Valley Conference is wide open. I'm not sure who's going to win that, although Drake is the number one seed. It doesn't mean that you're going to win. One thing I could guarantee you is that it would be I'll be upset. I can't guarantee they're going to get in, but I will be upset if Drake goes to the Arch Madness final, let's say, and loses, and they don't get into the NCAA tournament. That is an absolute travesty. I mean, they are a ridiculously good team at 26-3 right now. They'll be playing Missouri State later today. That covers basketball. You've got baseball obviously going on. We're going to talk to Matt Pauly about everything Cardinals here in just a little bit. You even have NASCAR and IndyCar running on the same day. Circuit of the Americas for NASCAR down in Austin. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg for the IndyCar drivers. So we'll keep an eye on that. We've got a big year at Worldwide Technology Raceway about to happen with NASCAR playoffs coming to St. Louis. Playoffs? That's right. NASCAR playoffs coming to St. Louis in September. IndyCar, of course, always runs here, but they switched it. Now IndyCar is going to run in June. IndyCar will run Father's Day weekend. How cool will that be? Father's Day, you can take your dad, your son, your grandpa to go see IndyCar. And then NASCAR will be in September, and they'll have all the stuff, the music festival, everything else that they put in there for that. And of course, it's football season. And I know we just had the Super Bowl and the college football playoff. No, the Battlehawks are about to start. They're going to be playing at the Dome, and we're going to hear from their coach, Kyle Kasky, in just a little bit. He is their running backs and special teams coach, back for another year with Anthony Becht. Now, he'll be with us at 11:15 today. So here's the lineup again. There's so much to talk about here with regard to sports. We have, first and foremost, Matt Pauly. He's standing by and is going to join us at 10:15. Josh Schertz at 10:30. Joey Vitale, Blues broadcaster, at 10:45 to talk about the tear that the Blues are on right now. And I think it's real. This is not, what am I looking for? You know, a team that is just kind of figuring it out. No, they figured it out. I mean, they look like a Jim Montgomery hockey team. And I think they could make a little run here. They are. They're 6-1-2 in their last nine. At 11:15, we'll discuss football with Kyle Kasky. Then John Mozeliak at 11:30. Get his review of what the Cardinals look like in their first week. We'll ask him about the organizational direction here, how he plays a role in that, what he sees from Nolan Arenado, who he tried to trade and wasn't able to, what he sees from Wilson Contreras at first base and what they're trying to do there at first. I do think they're trying to work Contreras into more of a DH first base role, and that will open things up for Alec Burleson at first. But we'll ask him about that. And the outfield, I think, is the most intriguing thing of all, because this outfield competition will get real if Victor Scott keeps playing well. And I look forward to seeing what that looks like out there with Newt Barr, with Siani, with Victor Scott. And, of course, you've got Brendan Donovan and Jordan Walker out there, and they need them all to play well. Obviously, those big boys need to play well for the Cardinals to be a contender. Cardinals a contender? I thought we were talking about the Cardinals resetting the organization. No, actually, the Cardinals are, I think, a contender for a wild card spot, maybe even a push in the NL Central, but everything's got to go right. Everything has to go right for them. So we'll talk about it with John Mozeliak. And, of course, we'll put it all in perspective with Bernie Miklas, as we always do at the end of the show at 11:45. Then we go to Cardinal Baseball, Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. I'll be there a week from today. Can't wait. John Mozeliak, Matt Pauly, they're both there. They're on the show. Matt joins us next. It's sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here's Tom Ackerman on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
You know, I was up paying attention to that City game last night. It started at 9:30. Matt Pauly, it started at 10:30, if he wanted to pay attention to that. He's joining us live from Jupiter, Florida, the spring training home of the Cardinals. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. Actually, I was up, and I watched much of it last night.
I'm sure you did. You got to pay attention to all sports just like me, and you have a lot going on down there. I have a week until I get down to Jupiter, Florida. I'm looking forward to seeing all the guys. And a week full of games, Matt. What have been your observations so far? They've gotten after it.
Yeah, I think pitching so far has been pretty solid. That's been the first thing that I've noticed, both from a starter standpoint and also from a standpoint of the relief pitchers who are kind of competing for jobs. You know, Gordon Graceffo yesterday, Tekoa Robey's looked pretty good. Yesterday, Wilson Contreras, the home run that he hit was just, it was a mammoth shot over 450 feet. He looked really good at first. Still not seeing much from Nolan Gorman. He's really struggling, doesn't have a hit yet. I asked Oliver Marmol about that yesterday, and he said it's just the process of him continuing to work through things, that he looks really good during batting practice, and it just hasn't started to be seen in games yet, and he hoped that that will eventually happen. So I guess those are kind of my overwhelming narratives that I've seen from this team so far.
I did like hearing from Nolan Arenado that 108 off the bat. He said he hadn't hit one that hard in a year. It seems like a big deal to me.
Yeah, he had that game where he had the two hits, the home run and the double, and he looked really, really good. He's looked solid at third base. You knew he was going to look solid at third base. But Tom, you know this, if he can start turning on the ball, if he can start pulling it with power, maybe he reverts back to a little bit of what he was before last year and even the year before, where we start to see a little bit decline. It's connected to the bat speed, and he did a lot of work in the offseason trying to increase the bat speed, both from a weight room perspective and also from a kind of other fitness type things they were doing, quick twitch muscles, things like that. So I think Arenado's going to have a much better season this year.
I want to go back to Gorman for a minute. It is way too early to panic about Nolan Gorman. He obviously, you don't want him to get into his own head, so the Cardinals will approach this thing like it's no big deal. But at some point, he will have to deliver. Have you seen a change in his swing? Has he talked about a change in approach? What sort of changes did they make in the offseason with Nolan?
Yeah, so he's been spending a ton of time with Brent Brown. They were together in Arizona. Look, I'm no hitting like guru by any stretch of the mind, but when you watch him in batting practice and when you watch him during live PP sessions, to me it seemed like it was a much tighter swing. So that's part because of the strikeout issue. That's what you want to have. Now, bluntly, in the games, it's looked much like what it looked like last year. I mean, it's 12 at-bats, 7 strikeouts, no hits. That is not what you want to see. But again, I think to your point, Tom, they are trying to downplay it because it is still early on in spring. He's still trying to implement all these tweaks that he's made. I don't think it's a shocker that it hasn't come around yet. But to your point, at some point in time, it does have to come around. If you're going to give this guy the runway that they want to give him, he does have to produce at least a little bit.
Your lineup today, Wynn, Donovan, Nootbaar, Arenado, Herrera, Gorman, Walker, Baker at first base, and Ciani in center field. We have a question on the stream here. Why is Herrera catching? Well, I'll let you answer that, but doesn't Herrera need to be catching?
Yeah, I don't know what the point of that question is. I mean, him and Páez are alternating starts just about every day. It was Páez, if I remember correctly, in the lineup yesterday, so today it would be Herrera. So that's what it's Ivan Herrera. And you know what, too, there was a lot of discussion about him 2 days ago about the work he's put in, because if he can be a guy who can throw runners out. He just lengthens the lineup, Tom. You put an 800 OPS guy right in the middle of your order. So I think it's so important for this team and their run scoring potential for Yvonne Herrera to be a guy that you can really trust behind the plate.
Matt Pauly joining us live from Jupiter, Florida. Wilson Contreras, William's a heck of a player up in Milwaukee. Wilson Contreras is not catching anymore. He is playing first base, but I have a feeling you're also going to see a lot of him at DH. This is about getting his bat in the lineup as often as possible. Two-part question. One, how has he looked at first base? I hear very good. Secondly, and from what I've seen on TV, very good, but you've seen more reps than I have. Secondly, how is that first base position shaping up with Baker getting a start today and obviously Burleson getting a look?
Yeah, so first off, Wilson's looked great. I was expecting him not to look great because it's a brand new position. Some of those mental type things of, you know, when to go for a ball, when not to go for a ball, when to take it first himself, when to underhand to a pitcher cover, like all that stuff. He's been right on. There's been balls coming off the bat at 100 plus miles per hour. He has handled them without a problem. I mean, this guy looks like a guy so far who's played a lot of first base. Now, at some point, I know we're going to see an issue here and an issue there. It's just going to happen. But I think he's looked really good. You know, the first base DH thing also connects to Nolan Gorman, because I think it almost comes down to who do you want in the lineup, Alec Burleson or Nolan Gorman more often? Because if you put Contreras as your DH a lot and Burleson at first, or even vice versa, if Contreras is at first and Burleson is your DH, then all of a sudden that connects to where Gorman's going to be. Is he going to be at second? How is that going to impact Donovan? How does it impact the center field spot with Lars Nootbaar? So it's a... it's an issue, and it's going to continue to be an issue. And when Oliver Marmol's been asked about it, he says that, you know, when they make these decisions, they're making the decisions both for 2025, but they're also looking at the long-term impact of these decisions as well. So I don't know what's going to happen. Like, my feeling right now is that Alec Burleson is actually going to be the guy who's on the kind of the short end of the stick. I think we're going to see Nolan Gorman get a lot more time at as the DH, allowing Donovan to play second, Nootbaar in center, and either Ciani or Scott in center field, depending on what happens. But Alec Burleson can certainly do something about that, and if he proves that he's a bat that you can't have out of the lineup, then they're going to have to adjust to it.
Matt Pauly in Jupiter, Florida with us. The comment from DLW1904, Contreras is picking it up from last year. Yeah, he is. I mean, his bat looks great, and I think that if the Cardinals start to see a regular appearance from him in that fashion, they're going to be tough to deal with. I think they're a playoff team if he's healthy and hits last year. Tommy Cross also checked in. He said he meant Contreras. Well, Contreras is not catching, nor will he ever. He's going to be first base and DH. Tommy was the one asking about Herrera, so just a little confused there. That's okay. Look, it's spring training for the fans also. Let me ask you this about pitching. Steven Matz is the pitcher today throwing to Herrera. What are the expectations right now for Steven Matz? How has he looked in his sessions? And obviously the Cardinals are starting to show a little bit more depth in the rotation if something wouldn't work out with him or others.
Yeah, the expectation for Matz is that if he is healthy, he's going to be a guy who can be in the rotation and certainly perform at a fairly high level. He looked very good in his first start of the year, where he went two scoreless innings, a lot of ground balls for him. I think fans sometimes, and Matz at times has not pitched well. I'm not trying to just gloss over that fact. But I think sometimes people confuse his ability to stay healthy versus his ability to pitch at a somewhat high level. When he is consistently healthy, he's a pretty good pitcher. He had one stretch where that absolutely was not true when he got thrown into the bullpen a couple years ago. But outside of that, if he's healthy, he's a solid, you know, back of the rotation starter. The question continues to be, can he stay healthy? And the other question is, what happens with a Michael McGreevy and a Quinn Matthews? And by the way, Matthews down to a minor league camp, so he's going to go from there, which, you know, anybody who thought that he was going to make the big league roster for opening day, that kind of comes off the table. Not that I thought that was much of a possibility. But right now, Steven Matz is going to be given every opportunity to be in that rotation. We'll see what it looks like from a health perspective at the end of spring and how that's going to impact Michael McGreevy. But I think the expectation for the club right now is that Steven Matz is in the rotation rotation, and that he's healthy and that he pitches at a somewhat high level.
Yeah, just let Quinn Matthews throw. I mean, it, you know, let him pitch, and then if you need to go get him at some point, go get him. I think one of the big things going on here, Matt, is health. So far, so good, right? I mean, knock on wood, but how do we look health-wise?
Really good. I hate talking about it, Tom.
Yeah, I know.
Because you just knocked on your table. I'll do the same over here in Jupiter. We'll try to get those forces to come together.
This window frame over here is wood. I'm going to hit this.
Yeah. Still very good. Very good. Still really early on in camp. Somebody's going to get banged up at some point in time. Nobody comes out of spring training 100% healthy. But this is good. And look, I don't think the staff changes are having an impact right now. There just wasn't enough time to like implement things. But when we talk about the way that they're going to do things from a performance standpoint moving forward, maybe that is going to be good for the Cardinals in terms of health. So I don't know. Let's just hope it stays the way it is. And the only guy who's dealt with anything is Drew Rahm, who was dealing with stuff last year anyways, and got taken off the 40-man. So far, so good from an injury standpoint.
Matt, before we let you go, anything else that has jumped out and anything new this morning news-wise that we should know about?
Yeah, the Quinn Matthews thing was the first thing. Chase Davis had previously been sent down to minor league camp as well. He was the first guy to go. So now that everybody's here, we'll see that more and more. And yeah, pitchers are going to go deeper into games now, so there's just going to be less innings available. Guys are going to play deeper into games as well, so there's going to be less at-bats available. So this is going to be a pretty constant thing here from now until the end on guys going to minor league camp. Yeah, that's everything has just kind of been status quo. It's been just a nice, solid camp, Tom. I heard you earlier talking about expectations for this team. I agree with you. If everything does go right, this is a team that absolutely can contend for a playoff spot this year.
The Spring Training Report, sponsored by St. Louis Composting, Wilkie Window and Door, Norm's Bargain Barn. We hear from Matt Pauley every single day on that front. We appreciate it very much. We'll hear from you tomorrow morning on Total Information AM and throughout the week. Your final week, big boy, as you head on out of there, and I will take things over. I'll take the baton from here.
Happy to be here. Also happy to get back in a week or so.
I know that. Thank you, pal. Matt Pauley with us, Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. We are the home of the Cardinals, and we have a game at 12 with the pregame, 12:10 with the first pitch against the Marlins. When we come back, we're also the home of the St. Louis Billikens. Look out, folks. If they play like that, I don't know who's going to stop them. I mean, seriously, how do you beat the Billikens if they are shooting the ball like that? They hit 18 threes yesterday. That's obscene. We'll talk to the coach, Josh Schertz, about it next on KMOX.
Swope killed his dribble, skips it over to Jimerson. Quick pop, one touch, one shot, bang!
Guys are locked in. He took the double team.
Swope on the dribble. Swope, a little hesitation again to the elbow. Open space in the middle of the floor in the paint. Robbie wants an NBA shot. Bang! Oh, Robbie, having a night.
Yes, baby. Oh.
My goodness. I mean, it is March, folks, and the Billikens sure played like it. Welcome back. Tom Ackerman with you. And this Billiken Report is sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. We are pleased to be joined live by the head coach of the St. Louis University Billikens, Josh Schertz. Good morning, coach.
Morning, Tom. How's it going?
Going great. 98-67. The win, SLU beats Loyola and moves into a third-place tie in the Atlantic 10 with Loyola and Dayton and St. Joseph's. Quite a win. I know you're proud of everything that went on last night and yesterday.
Yeah, no, it was our most complete, obviously, team performance of the year. Did a good job on both ends. Of course, basketball is like that. We've talked a lot about throughout the year, shooting variance and just thought certainly was awesome to see the ball go in at that level. 18 threes, but it was the force we played with, the way we shared the ball, the way we, ball and body movement, the way we generated those shots. And then it obviously, when you got guys like Gibb and et cetera, Robbie, Swope, on and on, Amari, at the tail end of those, that was good. So makes you look good.
It does. I heard two things in those radio calls. One, I heard drawing a double, and the other one, I heard Robbie from long distance. That sounded like a confidence shot to me, and then the other one is just feeling the double coming. That is a big part of your offense, isn't it, is feeling that and finding the open man.
Yeah, anytime you can, the key offensively, and there's various ways to do it, but you're always try and attack, play with great force, and you know, punch gaps into space. And so whether that's driving the basketball, posting it, rolls, cutting, you know, you're trying to make sure you're putting pressure on the rim, you're creating, engaging that low man in help, and then you're playing advantage basketball behind that, and then making the right reads. And you know, we did a lot of good things yesterday in terms of, you know, driving the ball. We got some good rolls. Robbie's post game was probably the best way we got, you know, pressure on the rim, because, you know, they're obviously we're switching, putting smaller guys on them. Rob's gotten much better and much more comfortable in those dribble downs against smaller guys, drawing the double team, and then you know, once he puts two to the ball, you know, he's such an elite passer, and he's making those passes, making those reads, and we were able to get some skip opposite threes, able to get some cuts for Kalu for layups, and a lot of good things happened, but did it in a variety of ways. But, you know, as you said, you know, once you get two to the ball, which is the whole key to offense, then it's just the decision-making, you know, comes behind that.
It has been quite a run here, as the Billikens have put together a 98-67 win over Loyola. I know we're going to focus on it. We'll talk a lot of offense here. We're going to focus on 98. It's a big number. But I wanted to ask you about your team defensively and how they have looked from that standpoint.
Yeah, I think we've been getting better and better all year long. You know, I think, you know, it's something where I would say early in the year, you know, through the first, you know, 11 games or so, I thought we were pretty horrific on that end of the floor. And, you know, and defense requires so many different things, but you know, energy and commitment and discipline to game plan are at the top of those lists, right? You know, competitiveness, communication, connectivity. There's, you know, defense is really about a lot of invisible plays that, you know, people don't see or talk about, or whether that's ball pressure, deflections, blowing up ball screens, being pulled in. I mean, you go through a gazillion things. A lot of what happens on that end of the floor is, you know, is nuanced and probably lost to most people, and not box score validation. Our commitment level on that end of the floor all year has been growing. The game plan yesterday, how we guarded them, was something we hadn't done. So for our guys to be able to take that in a one-day prep, because we didn't practice Wednesday, we didn't practice Thursday, we just did some skill development and film, and to really do it in a one-day prep and then be able to go out and execute it, I think that just shows the growth that we're having across the board. It wasn't, you know, we obviously never going to play perfect, but we did that about as well as you could do on a one-day prep, and all across the board, our commitment level, our energy level, the commitment to the invisible plays, the discipline to the game plan of what we're doing defensively, because we're very much, you know, we're going to game plan for a specific team. We have, of course, a base of what we're going to do, but then it's nuanced to how we're going to guard in a particular opponent, and guys have gotten much better in that area.
I wanted to ask you about that prep time. Last time I talked to you was after that loss to Loyola. I know that was a tough one, and then you had a full week before you hosted Rhode Island. Was that beneficial? Did you get healthy? Was there anything good that came out of that, being able to take a breath after those three straight losses?
I thought it was huge for us. I think we were tired at the end of that, more so mentally than physically. I know, you know, we're playing guys a lot of minutes and whatever, but, you know, it wasn't really that as much as it. I think there was a mental fatigue. We had, you know, gone on a seven-game stretch where we played four on the road. Our three home games were, you know, against, at the time, the three top teams in the league, you know, VCU, Mason, and Dayton. We'd gone on, I think we played, you know, we had traveled a bunch and had some longer road trips. And anyways, I thought it was just a great time to reset. And we told guys to get away. You know, we lost that Saturday. And, you know, and we gave them off Sunday, Monday, and then did some skill development Tuesday, and didn't really get back into practice until Wednesday. It was, I guess, a Friday game. So we took off Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and came back Tuesday. And we had a four-day ramp up to Rhode Island. And we just thought about coming back. Hey, you know, this is a new season. You know, it's a break. It's a chance to rest, rejuvenate, fill our cups back up. And then, you know, a four-day, really our last big practice block of the season, you know, let's attack this new season, five games. Once we, you know, when we had whatever 16, 17 days, we came back, you know, to the rest of the regular season, five games, whole new season. Let's attack this. We still control our own destiny for everything that we want to do outside of winning a regular season championship. Let's refocus on that. And I thought our guys did a really good job of attacking the new season. You know, with a five-game stretch, we're 3-0, and there's two more big ones in front of us.
You got a big one against Davidson. Man, oh, man, is that a win. I mean, really, really special. You're down by 13, I do believe. Yeah, you were down 13 with 6.5 to go and rallied for the victory. And you know what, Coach Schertz, you had Isaiah Swope with 23, a big, big day. He doesn't shoot as well yesterday, but he gathers 7 rebounds. You know, you're always finding a way to contribute. In that Davidson game, Jimerson didn't shoot the ball all that well, and then he erupts for 9 yesterday. It just shows you that trio, I know there are more outside of it, but that trio of Avila, Swope, and Jimerson, if you can get one or two of them going, you got a great chance.
Yeah, I mean, when you got three guys that are that prolific offensively, you hope to have, you know, at least two going at the same time. You know, in the first half at Davidson, it was only Isaiah Swope. I think we had 18 points and he had 14. So if we were 2 for 18 as a team, besides him, you know, Gibb had some good looks. They didn't go in. Robbie had a couple decent looks. Thought we looked really slow and lethargic offensively in the first half. I thought our defense, you know, kept us in. We talked about that defensively. You know, we've really made a big jump from December to now, post-Christmas to now, in terms of that end of the floor. And, you know, you go into halftime, we got 18 points. I don't know if I've ever seen a worse offensive half from a team of mine. And we're only down 9 points. And as you said, you know, Swope, some big shots. We're down 51-38 with 6.5 to go. And this team has shown, you said, you know, it can be maddening at times. You know, stuff we do, turnovers, get loose in different parts of the game, some mental errors. But, you know, what makes them fun to coach is I know they care deeply. They don't play perfect, but they have perfect intentions when they play. And they're going to play you now to the final whistle. And, I mean, just big play after big play in that last 6.5 minutes. Closed the game on a 19-5 run. And, you know, Amari with a couple huge baskets. Robbie hadn't made a three. You know, he makes a big three. Gibson was like 1 for 10. He makes a huge one. Swope makes a big one in the final 40 seconds. We get a ton of stops. And then, obviously, you know, get the ball to Rob there on the last play. And, I mean, he makes an incredible shot over under Reed Bailey to put us up. And you know, you come take one. But that's, you know, we've done that a couple times now. You know, UMass, Richmond, and Davidson are three games that I think we had a 90-plus percent chance on the analytics to lose down big late and rally back and find a way to win. And, you know, that's a credit to our guys and their competitive spirit, their competitive will. And I think that's something you can build with a championship DNA. And we're starting to see some signs of that here in this, you know, post-Christmas run.
It's March, and here you go. I mean, you're in the postseason picture again, but a different situation than last year. Last year, you captured America's attention. You were wrongfully left out of the NCAA tournament. I will say that emphatically. You should have been an at-large after losing in Arch Madness, but they didn't let you in, and you went on to the NIT final. Now you have people's attention again, but it's different. You control your own destiny. You're not getting a lot of help, but you're there, tied for third. With Dayton, and I mentioned with St. Joseph's and Loyola, you can finish the deal and really put some heat on this conference.
Absolutely. You know, March is there's nothing better than playing high-stakes games in March. You know, we've been going since June. You know, it's when we really gear up. I think June 2nd, 9 months ago, was the opening practice. And, you know, you work, you know, one of the things we talk about, you know, in our program, we have two goals every year. One's to play to our standard every single time we put the jersey on. And that's really the micro goal. And we got to, you know, you develop into that. You know, what's your standard? Do you play to that every time you go out there? And then the second goal, which is more macro, is to be at our very best when it matters most. And when it matters most is now, you know, and starting now and on into the postseason. Elimination time comes for every team. It doesn't matter if it's in your conference tournament or the NCAA tournament. Elimination time does come. And, you know, you can have a great season, you know, if you perform in the regular season, win a championship. I think no matter what happens in the postseason, you know, it's a great season, but I don't think you can have a special season unless you perform in the postseason. And so I think, you know, as we're getting down here to the end of February, into March, when you're playing high stakes games, and we've been playing high stakes games here since we came back from this, the bye week, and we're going to have two more, and then you go into DC. This is what you want. There's a pressure to play up to your standards, to play to your identity, to do it consistently, to find ways to win. And, you know, know, that's what you want. That's why you work as hard as we do. And, you know, it's for this level of competition and put yourself out there and continue to find ways to get through the competition together. And that's what, you know, is what we want. And it doesn't get any easier this week. I mean, Dayton to Dayton is going to be a bear, you know, be 13,000 plus in there. And then, you know, a really good Duquesne team at home. But, you know, it wasn't easy with Rhode Island and at Davidson and Loyola. And so, you know, this league, you know, it's every single game you got to be ready to answer the bell. That's the one thing in the A-10. There's not a night that you don't, you know, you got to answer the bell every single night, and every single night's a fight.
The great basketball town of Dayton, Ohio. I know that'll be a lot of fun to see those two go head-to-head. SLU at Dayton on Tuesday night at 6. We'll have it on KMOX. Can't wait. Thank you very much for the time. As always, it's a pleasure. And congratulations on a dominant win yesterday against Loyola. Good luck in Dayton.
Appreciate it, Tom. Appreciate you having me on. And we'll talk here next week and see you guys on Tuesday night.
Yep. And then I'll see you in person Saturday night when the Billikens have their home finale against Duquesne. That is Coach Josh Schertz. Always a pleasure to have him, sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. When we come back, Blues Hockey Talk with Joey Vitale, Blues broadcaster, next.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning. Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here's Tom Ackerman on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Well, you got a triple header on TNT today, hockey fans, starting at noon. Toronto at Pittsburgh, 2:30, Boston at Minnesota, and then the Blues at Dallas. And the Blues are hot as can be. I get to spend the next... Now, let's see, 9 minutes with my pal, Joey Vitale. Blues broadcaster is with us on KMOX. Good morning, Joey.
Tom, what's going on? I know you're pal, but of course, co-host. We brought it to the people the other day. Don't forget that.
We did bring it to the people on FanDuel Sports Network. I'm glad Alexa Dad is doing better, but it was nice to jump in there with you. You got a nice studio over there. I love that Ballpark Village studio. And we got to call, I think, maybe, or at least a host, the win of the year. Over the Capitals, the number one team in the league. They go in there and smoke them, and then they come home and beat a good Kings team, 4-1. The Blues are playing with incredible confidence.
You know, that's just it. It's just confidence right now, Tom. You know, it's the feeling, right? Every team in any sport, I mean, you call out sports, you cover sports, you watch sports. Whether it's golf and it's an individual sport or it's a team, like the NFL, it's that feeling. You got to get to the rink. You got to get to the field. You got to get to the stadium. And you just are searching for that feeling. It's that special it factor. Every good team, every elite team's got that it factor. For the Blues in 2019, it was the Gloria, right? They had different little things that they brought to the table that just brought them confidence before they played. You know, everyone thinks that a confident team is a product of playing well. To me, it's the opposite. The confidence comes first. You have to approach the game with confidence, and then the result takes care of itself. And, you know, the confidence right now for this team is it's skyrocketing. And I go to that game last night, a perfect example of confidence is it doesn't always go right, but you stick with it. I mean, we're not talking about a team that hasn't dealt with any adversity over the last couple weeks. Look at last game. Look at last night. You're playing the LA Kings. You take a penalty in the first period. It's a horrible call. You get put in the box, and then Kevin Fiala continues to stay hot. He gets on the board. You're down 1-0 early. I mean, to me, that's the moment where you're like, okay, how is this team going to respond? A confident team goes right out there. Franco gets the goal, and they just continue to build and build and build. So that, to me, is what it's all about. It is a confident group, like you mentioned. They're getting contributions through every single line. They're getting great goaltending. Special teams has been good. And it's a good feeling right now at home, certainly. And now they're going to really attack the road, as the next six are going to be on the road. So road hockey is going to be super important with the trade deadline looming.
Yeah, it's well said. What do you think they do at the deadline if they continue to look like this?
I think they add. I think they add or do nothing. Because right now you're looking at a team that is playing great hockey. This isn't about necessarily points. I know points are important right now, and I'm not going to sit here and say that they don't matter. They matter. But, you know, Doug Armstrong has made multiple comments in the last couple seasons when he has made moves or has not made moves. It's less about points, less about where you're at the standings, less about where you're climbing. It's more about, does this team look like a team? Does this team look like it's getting it together? And, you know, last couple seasons, I think there was plenty of reason to doubt that, you know, with the inconsistencies, with the individual players not playing up to par. Now, right now, since coming out of that Four Nations 2-week break, I have seen nothing but positives about the way this team is trending. They are trending in the right direction, and they're trending at the right time. I mean, Jim Montgomery, when he got hired, everything was habits. Everything was fundamentals. Everything was, how do we get this team to get rooted in those fundamentals? And then from there, we're going to build. Now, it took a lot of time, and time was of obviously not of the essence for Jim Montgomery, who signed a 5-year deal. And for Doug Armstrong and Alexander Steen, they're like, well, take your time. Because take your time with the young guys. Take your time because we are okay with the time. I didn't necessarily think it would be this quick, but after a few months under Jim Montgomery, you're starting to see those fundamentals. You're starting to see the habits. You're starting to see the buy-in, right? Because why? Because you're getting results, right? Players, we're habitual by nature. You know, if we're a circler, we're going to keep circling. And then a coach is going to come in and say, no, I need you to stop and start. You're going to fight him a little bit. But over time and over repetition, you're going to say, okay, I'm going to stick with this. And then you start seeing the results as a byproduct. I mean, look at Jordan Kyrou last night. You know, play away from the puck. That was a big focus for Jim Montgomery. The kid had 6 hits last night. He had 6 hits, which was a season high for him, and he also had 7 shots on goal. So you see that through physicality, through skating, through stopping and starting, not only is it going to help the team, it's actually going to help him. Because individually, I thought he had one of his best games. So it's just this whole process, and I think Jim has done such a good job of communicating that process. These players, they're getting the wins. And, you know, with that, it's just been a wonderful snowball effect of being positive in the right direction.
You read my mind on Kyrou. You just answered my question on that. He played a phenomenal game last night. He had that roughing penalty towards the end, standing up for himself, 6 hits. He's playing a great game, and that is a reflection of Montgomery and this hockey club and the coaching staff. As the Blues get the win 4-1, they'll be playing at Dallas today at 5. And then they continue that road trip on the West Coast. Meanwhile, back in St. Louis, the Blues are also involved here because the Blue Note Cup is happening at Centene Community Ice Center and Maryville University Hockey Center. And this is happening this weekend. It's just amazing how St. Louis has become a hockey hotbed. It really is remarkable, and the Blues are all over it.
They absolutely are, Tom. You know, I'll start with a personal thing, and then I'll get into the big picture. But last year for me was one of the most special moments personally at the Blue Note Cup, a memory I will never forget. You know, of course, I coached my son Harper. I coached my son Bodie. And then, of course, my daughter, Summer, who's 13, she played on a boys' team. And it ended up being her final game because now she's just focusing on volleyball. Maybe she'll get back into hockey, but she's all volleyball now. So in her final game last year, and I've been coaching her for 5-6 years, behind the bench, and they're in the championship game against the Chesterfield Falcons. And it's 0-0, and we're at the Plager Arena, and this place is just packed. And we're up, they're up, they're we're down, a 0-0, chance for chance. And then I kept telling the group of guys that, hey, stick with it. Let's get to the net. It's going to be a rebound goal. And with about a minute 40 or so left in that game, like I mentioned, a sold-out bar there, Plager, fans everywhere. I mean, layers of fans. Shot from the point, and my daughter puts in the backhand rebound, and we end up winning. I believe we got an empty netter later for a 2-0 game. And just hugging my daughter and being a part of that moment with her and experiencing that with her. That's what every parent cherishes about the Blue Note Cup. That's, you know, win or loss. I mean, it's the hugs, it's the relationships, it's a season of culmination coming to an end. And then just having those memories built into that fabric of that relationship is truly everything. So that's what I will take to my grave. There's no question about it. But big picture, this is an unbelievable tournament. That obviously is supported by the St. Louis Blues. And if you are a fan of hockey, if you're a fan of just energy and lightness and fun, go out to Centene today, anytime. Games are happening all day long. The championship day is today. You're going to walk in the building and you're going to think it's a state championship or a national championship. You know, people flock out to Centene who don't even have kids playing in the games. I mean, we're talking about that kind of support where I know a lot of my friends who have no kids joining today, or maybe their kids got bounced last weekend, but they're going just to support. Yeah, the energy is so infectious out there, and it's just a wonderful experience. So I encourage everyone, if you have some time today and you're interested, go out there and see what it is, and you're going to see the growth of hockey, because to me, it still is the best youth sport out there, and it's just wonderful to see all the community and in full support of it.
Since partnering with the Missouri Youth Hockey for the annual Blue Note Cup State Championship beginning in 2016-17, the number of divisions competing for Blue Note Cups has expanded from 19 to 37. That is tremendous. So hello to all the hockey families who are in town for that. You are amazing. By the way, next Saturday's game, 7 p.m. Central, that's a rare early game from the West Coast, will be the second broadcast on KMOV, Matrix Midwest, and Victory Plus, all accessible for no extra cost. You can see him on FanDuel Sports Network. You can hear him on the radio. He is the one and only Joey Vitale, joining us on KMOX today. We appreciate you, pal.
Hey, Tom, always a pleasure catching up with you, good friend. And it's always great to be back on KMOX, where I started my journey back in 2019 with that St. Louis Blues team that had a pretty special year that year.
They did. Go get another cup, all right? Thank you.
Sounds good, Tom. Have a great day.
You too. Joey Vitale with us with the St. Louis Blues. We're back for more after the news.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.